Joined now in the studio by Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, who is not on the ballot this time around, and I'm sure you're happy about that.
No, and I never have been in March and or yeah. April or May, so that's a good thing.
Yes.
I want to tell you I want to tell you a very quick early voting story, though.
Mm-hmm.
In Durham at North Carolina Central, the early voting site has historically been the Student Union.
Mm-hmm.
This spring, they moved it to the law school. So now, whether I'm at school or whether I'm at town hall, I am presented by voters everywhere. So
awesome.
It's pretty awesome. I hit the political process twice a day now.
How busy is it at NC Central?
Oh my gosh, it's been extremely busy. The law school is set up in a way that it's easy for folks to pull up and run in, and the parking's nice. And just as with our town hall here in Carborough, folks are out there sitting and talking to everyone who comes in with signs and you know material, and it's really active and in a busy spot.
Sounds good. So with the early voting at Carborough Town Hall, and then Tuesday being primary day, I know Carborough Town Hall is a site for that. So board meetings have been moved for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Or called off, I guess, depending on the week?
Right. We always, on election day, we typically cancel our meetings. So on Tuesday night, March 15th, our meeting is canceled that night. But this coming Tuesday, which I guess is at the 8th, it's going to be what we usually do. We move our meeting to the Owosso Community Room. And so we'll be in there that evening at 7:30. I guess we'll have a sign on the door at Carborough Town Hall if anyone shows up, so they can go right around the corner a few blocks.
Yep.
And we will have a videographer there kind of recording it, so that we'll have it on our site later for folks that aren't able to attend if they want to see the meeting.
And that's the case every week, right? The video recording on the website?
It's always on the website afterward, but it's usually live also. But
okay.
I don't think it'll be...
It won't be
live on Tuesday night, but afterward it'll be available.
Okay, so you can head to the website even if you can't make it to the meeting and check out the meeting after the fact. Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and there's a lot of items on, I know, the Board of Aldermen's agenda, even with the changing schedules and everything. One of the items on the agenda for earlier this week that I know you didn't get a chance to get to was talking about legislative issues for the General Assembly's short session. Obviously, budget is always a big thing, but there's also an item on the General Assembly's agenda that, as it turns out, may actually call them back before the regular work session is set to begin on April 25th. This is the Charlotte City ordinance that allows transgender people to use whichever bathroom corresponds to their gender identity. And House Republicans in particular are apparently so incensed about this that they're ready to call the General Assembly back into session early to reverse it. So what is your take on this?
Yeah, so I have a lot of thoughts on it, and we've been kind of watching it very closely. First of all, just one problem with it is the characterization of it as the bathroom bill, which is what I think that folks who want to see that part overturned, they have been calling it that. They called it that
to
last
the exclusion of everything.
Exactly.
Else.
They called it that last fall when it got defeated in Charlotte. And now with a new council and a new mayor, it was passed. And again, it's referred to as the bathroom bill. But in fact, you know, what it is a non-discrimination ordinance, which is much, much more broad than bathrooms. And just a little bit of a history, it actually covers, I'm looking at a memo from the city attorney of Charlotte that was part of their materials the night that they voted on it. But they actually adopted the ordinance that they are adding this on to. It's, you know, of course, prohibits discrimination in public accommodations. And, you know, when we think of public accommodations, we're talking about places like restaurants, hotels, motels, you know, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's not just to prevent discrimination. In other words, to allow a person to go in the bathroom of the gender that they identify with, but it's also to let, like, for example, couples that are married, same-sex couples that are married, to be able to, you know, have a room at a hotel.
Yeah.
Or to be able to, you know, order, people always like to talk about, order a wedding cake. You know, there's you know, case law on that. But so it's really so much more broad and beyond the bathroom issue. Not to say that that's not an important one.
Yeah.
So that was one part of it. A second part of it was to also allow companies that operate passenger vehicles for hire, which I guess are taxis and services like that, to not be able to discriminate on that basis also. And then, you know, just in general, commercial non-discrimination, meaning that not having folks who contracted with the city be able to discriminate either. So it's a really broad ordinance, and what is a little frustrating is that I think that we are going to see, we're going to see some type of religious freedom type act or proposal, I think, come from the General Assembly this summer anyway. And so I fear that what this is going to do is perhaps pit one against the other, pit anti-discrimination laws against religious freedom laws.
Yeah.
I think that on the flip side, on the good side of it, I'm so proud of the largest city in North Carolina to take such a courageous stand and to just say, you know, let's just put it out there, because almost, you know, many, many other major cities in the United States have similar type non-discrimination ordinances. Why shouldn't our largest city have one?
Exactly. And I mean, it's courageous, and it's sad that it's courageous, because it's also extremely overdue.
It is. It's extremely overdue. And just by way of like responding to folks who have talked about, like Carrboro, for instance, we've done everything within our what we understand to be our legal authority in town to have non-discrimination laws in place. Of course, our town has had non-discrimination policies in place for many, many years. The domestic partner benefits. We have in town hall, we have some gender-neutral bathrooms. I mean, we've done everything within our power. Our charter appears to limit us some way to some respect with regard to public accommodation. Mm-hmm. Our charter is a little different than Charlotte's charter. So I think we're all kind of cautiously, nervously awaiting the reaction of the General Assembly, which unfortunately it might not have been a good year to really start out this way. But hey, that's the way progress gets done, is just by putting it out there.
Yeah, and taking two steps forward and one step back, and two steps forward and one step back seems to be the case.
Right, and I think it's really, really important for people to understand this being in the context of discrimination across the board, a number of different services, and also just an understanding of what does it mean to say that a person who is transgender or a person who wants to use the restroom of the gender they identify with, what is so scary about that? You know, the other side would have you believe that there's been a lot of crime and a lot of, bad events that have happened when if a young girl or young boy goes into a room and someone is there preying on them. But, honestly, that happens. That could happen also with non-transgender people too. Mm-hmm. I think in general, people are cautious when their young children go in the restrooms anyway. There's no statistics bearing this out.
And there are hundreds of communities across the country that have already done this with virtually zero issues.
Exactly. Yeah. And just kind of a closing point on it, trans people who are transgender already use bathrooms that they identify with. A lot of times you don't even know.
Exactly.
And frankly, I've said enough.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia LaBelle, and we'll continue to follow on this, obviously, as it continues to go on. But I mean, it's something that bears a lot of talking about and a lot of conversation. There's so many different facets of it. But I think in Carrboro, obviously, the town has done everything that it can. There's also something to be said for the power of culture to push society in a direction where this is no longer an issue. It's important for there to be legal protections and political protections, but also for just us to have a community that is welcoming and inclusive to begin with, so that if this ever becomes an issue, the community rallies around gays and lesbians who are discriminated against. The community rallies around transgender people who are discriminated against.
No, you're absolutely right. I remember a couple years ago, I don't even remember when it was, but a resident called me anonymously and talked to me about part of our town code that made this was a person who had transitioned from male to female, and it made her nervous about using a female restroom because something in our code made it seem like they might be subject to some type of criminal fine. It was put in many, many, many years ago, and I remember brought it to the board. We all talked about it. We understood it. We got rid of it. You know,
yeah.
So we just kind of deal with these kind of questions and try to put ourselves in the position of all of our citizens, I think, on a very thoughtful basis. And so I'm really, I really hope that people can have some understanding and some compassion around these issues as the legislature takes it up.
Yeah.
It's going to, you know, anyway.
Yeah. And I think the act of putting yourself in the shoes of someone that you maybe not, you don't have their perspective, but at least try to see things from their perspective is so important for a legislator to do and for just a community member to do, especially as we're getting into election season, we're going to the polls and voting for people. Like if you're a straight couple, for instance, and you get a room and a bed and breakfast, you don't have to worry at all about getting there and being rejected because the people who run the B&B don't approve of your relationship. If you're gay, you at least have to think about that. And that's something that people don't consider, I think.
Yeah. No, it is. I guess I'm trying to think of a well-known person who's transgender, and just for purposes of illustration, I'll use Caitlyn Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what the legislature is saying, they would rather have Caitlyn Jenner use a male restroom.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't make sense.
It's weird, right?
Yeah. Right.
And there are female to male transgender people who look like men. They've got facial hair, big, burly. They're men. And
right.
They're asking them to go and use the women's restroom as if that's better.
Right, right. And so it just, it logically doesn't make sense. But let alone understanding, you know, having compassion for people who just want to be who they are and want to be comfortable in their own skin, you know? So.
All right. We'll keep following that. Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, before we let you go, other legislative issues that the town is following?
Yeah, I think, again, when we have our legislative breakfast, actually, a week from Monday, I'll think of some more between now and then, I'm sure. But I know at the, in particular, at the Metro Mayor's meeting, which I had to miss on Wednesday, but I've gotten the follow-up and read a lot of the material from it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the items coming up this year, in addition to trying to keep our eye on tax laws, because we're always kind of worried that the sales tax, you know, we're not sure it's quite done yet.
Talking about the redistribution proposal.
Yeah. Not sure that hope we don't want that to, like, rear its ugly head. One is, of course, we're looking at the transit, the light rail cap, trying to get that removed.
Mm-hmm.
But another is this, and I need to study this more, Aaron, but the way currently that economic development, we have a tier system of determining economic development monies, how they go out to different counties, and evidently the state is looking at redoing the way that works in a way that I think will benefit the more distressed counties in the state more. Not something, of course, that any of us would be against, but in doing so, we need to understand what implications that would have for counties that are wealthy counties, which Orange, you know, even though we see distressed people in our county, we're still one of the wealthiest counties.
All right. Sounds good. Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.